Count me down.
No, no, no. Adam. Come on.
That's not how you do it.
Count me.
Nope.
Down.
No, wait. We'll get there. This
count
is
me
no.
Down.
We haven't even done the open yet.
Come on. All right. So
count me down.
Hey, all right.
No,
hey,
no, no,
hey.
No, no, no. Hey. I know it's been a while.
Sorry.
Really I believe in you. You can do it.
Yeah.
This is how it's done. Hello and welcome to episode 191.
My freaking ears.
For, what is this? Is this the second episode of the beginning of July? Coming out on the 8th?
The week of July 8th? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I have with me three gentlemen.
Yamaguchi-san is me.
Okay.
I don't know what you're saying.
I know who you're referring to, but okay.
Please stop.
You mean, never mind, I can't think of her name. She's a figure skater.
Christina Yamaguchi?
There you go, yeah. You got it.
Or Michelle Kwan. Which
okay, I said Yamaguchi, and you're being a racist.
I just kept going down the line.
Tamagotchi.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice.
Matthew.
Is it my turn?
Yes,
your turn.
I'm Andrew.
Hello, I'm Adam.
And I'm Jordan. Let's get down to it with the news.
Oh, shit. I should take the baseball
off. Oh, should
off
you?
My tab.
Oh, all right, all right. Well, he needs
I
some
mean,
time.
You should at least tell
we have,
him.
No, we'll
you
go through
should tell
it.
Him that we're going to review something.
I know. Yeah, all right, while he's looking it up, well, I'll do that.
I'm ready.
We have the news. We got our box office top 10. We got new releases, DVD, Blu-ray, and TVD. And then we have a review of Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer.
Or how is it pronounced in French?
Le Snowpiercer.
Le Snowpiercer. And then our guest, the ending. But let's get back to the news.
News. This first one, it. I'm really confused because the D and the Y and the W and the H and TV and S are capitalized. I'm going to read it now. Do you want to help a TV show?
Question mark.
It's a reference, and you should be singing that.
Do you want to help a TV show?
Do do do
okay,
do.
Sure.
Although Adam says that no one watches this TV show, the show Once
that.
Upon a Time.
Oh, it's not Hannibal? Because that's
Did
a dumb
that?
Show.
Yeah.
I probably said that. It sounds like something I'd say.
Once Upon a Time is a TV show that I watch, and I like it a lot, even though it's gotten really bad. It's going into its fourth season.
God knows how.
And it's all about... It's
all
it's an ABC show.
Spam in the box.
And ABC and Disney, you know, they're the same thing. So all the Disney characters show up on this show as, like, real-life people living in a town that's cursed. And
so it's a Fables knockoff.
That's what I've been told.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I've been told to read Fables because this is, like, shitty Fables.
I can give you the first three paperbacks.
He can give you all his Fables.
But here's the thing. Last season of Once Upon a Time ended with a teaser that showed Elsa from Frozen come into town.
What?
Yeah. So everyone's been like, what? What's going to happen?
Was she singing?
And so now they've cast Elsa. And it was her name is Georgina Haig. And she was on Fringe.
Oh, yeah.
People like Fringe.
Fringe is good.
And she was like, she wasn't in the whole show, but she showed up at some point.
Hey, is that show on still?
No.
Fringe or what's...
No.
Both.
Fringe
I wasn't
is,
listening. What's going on?
Fringe has concluded.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been done for a few years.
Yep.
Once Upon a Time, it's still around, so that's why they've cast... They already cast the other two, Kristoff and Anna. I didn't care about that. Elsa was what I cared about, because if they fuck this up, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
The movie was really good about not making her into an out-and-out villain.
Mm-hmm.
And this TV show is very fond of, like, simplifying
everything.
The actual things into making it where the evil queen that attacks Snow White is every character. She's every villain.
Yeah.
She was Ursula. I'm still mad about that.
Wow.
But her, of course, the teaser at the end of the season finale was like, she comes out of like, she was trapped in some kind of a vase or something. And so she comes out and does her ice thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. I wonder how they're going to roll with this.
Comes out of a vase.
Yeah, she was like part of Rumpelstiltskin. Rumpelstiltskin had a stockpile of like magic items that he couldn't even mess with.
Oh.
He was like, these are too powerful for me. And she came out of there.
Interesting.
Also because of time travel that I don't want to talk about at
of
all.
Of course, time travel.
Time travel.
I do not
want
to talk about
time
travel.
If someone wants to mess with a story and they just, time travel.
It was
wibbly-wobbly.
The worst.
Yeah.
Look, I found this malfunctioned clock.
a whole article for Agents of Guard about it because I was so disappointed.
So this isn't the good kind of like timey-wimey, spacey-racy type of
thing. No, it was the kind where the character lands and says, like, they make a reference to Back to the Future, and then they proceed to not, like, they proceed to be the dumbest time traveler ever.
Wow.
Where they, like, almost ruin their own birth, much like Marty McFly.
Awesome.
In fact, almost exactly like Marty McFly.
Good times.
Did she try and bang her dad or something?
No. She ruined her parents' meeting in a very similar way, where, you know how in Back to the Future, George McFly falls out of a tree?
He falls out of the tree instead?
Snow White is attacking the prince, and she falls out of the tree, causing the prince to know about the attack, so they never meet during the attack.
Wow.
Yeah, it's dumb. Don't worry about it, but now Elsa's been cast, so hopefully they won't mess that up.
I'm still not going to watch it.
Well, and also...
Me neither.
So no one else here watches Once Upon a Time?
Nope.
But Jordan, you liked Frozen, right?
Yep.
So this doesn't even intrigue you to go check out this show? Like,
not
to see
at all
what their version of Frozen characters are?
Because I watched it for a little bit, and I was so annoyed about the way they handled characters.
Yeah.
And the excessive use of CG, because they didn't want to make sets.
And
so
their
just,
CG budget is, like, low.
It's horrible CG. Like, instead of making a room for them to stand in, they create a CG room, and it looks like shit. Like, it is obviously CG.
There was a part where, like,
it
someone walked
so
into
bad.
A town, and it was, like, very bad CG town. And I was like, why even have this thing
I can't watch
it.
It bothers me too much. Like, I'm sorry, take a couple days and build it really quick. It's not that hard.
Or use. I'm sure there are other sets. This is ABC and Disney. This is not.
They don't have the money to just do that real quick.
Yeah,
it's like they don't have a single soundstage.
No, I don't think they do. They just have a bunch of green walls.
They have a bunch of green walls that they hang out in and
My
recite
mom
their.
Some old green blankets. We could probably use these.
Yeah, exactly.
You sounded like Constantine.
So that's why. That's why it's not going to happen. Because I like that movie, but no.
I still haven't seen that movie.
It's good. Did you see, what was the other one?
Tangled?
No.
Frog Princess?
Wreck-It Ralph?
Brave?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, I saw
That's
that.
Like Brave.
You gotta be brave to like Wreck-It Ralph.
You think you changed your fit?
No, I haven't seen Brave.
Would you?
You're not missing.
I'm probably not
Are you doing Maleficent?
I liked Brave. It got a little weird with the bear stuff, but you know.
It just wasn't as good.
I thought it was
Pixar,
very good.
Like,
Hmm. What are you gonna do, man?
What's the news next?
The news next, is it a bullseye to go from super to atomic?
All right, so we've got a Chris Evans being the Torch and Captain America thing going on here again.
Well, not just that. I mean, you could also cite Halle Berry.
Yeah.
As Storm.
Yeah,
and
baby.
Or you could cite. Future Batman, Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but luckily,
isn't
Storm and Catwoman like different universes?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, this is the reason why I bring the Chris Evans thing is because those are the same universes.
Yeah, this is true.
And this is the same universe.
This is the Superman no one cares about, so...
This is true.
What's going on?
So,
what's the news?
You don't have it in front of you.
Brandon Routh.
Oh, I've heard of this man.
He's going to show up on Arrow.
Oh.
And not as Superman.
Yeah, which I know... Matt and Jordan have differing opinions on.
Mm.
But he will show up as a character that has never been portrayed on a screen before. He's going to be the Atom.
I'm excited about that.
Ray Palmer.
I'm excited about
that.
Is that
the guy who absorbs
He can
energy?
Shrink.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's like Ant-Man.
Yeah. I like this show. I watched the first season. I still have to watch the second.
It got really
show.
Good in the second season.
Did it?
Yeah.
It's a good show.
It became a totally different kind of show.
Oh, nice.
Instead of being a procedural, it became an overarching storyline.
He's going to show up in the third season.
It wasn't
as well
a superhero
as,
soap opera?
That's Once Upon a Time.
They're going to have a Katana.
Katana's cool.
I don't know who that is.
She's cool.
Mortal Kombat.
And Peter Stormare is going to show up to play a character that, I don't know, Count Vertigo?
Oh, he's cool. He's kind of cool. He's a really famous Arrow enemy.
Okay. When are they bringing in Captain Cold and... oh, no, that's Flash.
That's Flash.
You know, that's weird.
Captain Boomerang, Captain... Well, he has so many captains he has to fight.
Captain America, maybe? Oh, wrong universe. God damn it.
Who did... I can't remember who I was thinking of was a big
Arrow
villain.
Vertigo was the drug
mm-hmm.
in the show. Did he call... He called himself the Count, huh?
No.
What did he call himself?
That was, what's his name?
You know, the crazy guy?
Mm-hmm.
What did he call
No, he was the Count.
Yeah.
So this is the new one.
I never made that connection.
It's because the original guy is just the guy who created the drug, and this count is the actual count.
Oh. He's the one with the power.
Huh? Yep.
Okay.
That was the Arrow.
And
spoiler
I like
cast.
That who they got for what's her name? The Katana. It's the chick from Sin City.
Which one?
Devin Aoki?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
She's not in the new Sin City.
If it ain't Rory Gilmore, I don't care.
Or Rosario Dawson. Those are some of the best prostitutes.
You mean
Ladies of the Street?
Alexis Bledel?
Yeah.
That's why she's going to be in Sin City too, right, guys?
Is she?
No, she died in the first one.
I don't fucking
spoilers.
Care.
Right at the end, too, so enjoy that, everyone.
She deserved it.
A seven-year-old film. When did that movie come out?
I don't know.
A
like
long
7 years?
Ago.
Yeah. Probably 7 years.
I think I'm right, guys.
Still fantastic.
Look that up right now. I'll distract everyone.
Yeah,
so anyways, the Braves were tied.
I don't know.
I can't watch it anymore.
Can we add one more news?
Add one more news.
I do.
This just in.
They just cast two new people for the new Star Wars movie.
You know, I didn't want to talk about that. Only because
Peter
they're
Dinklage
unknowns.
Is Luke Skywalker.
So all that it is like, here's two people you don't know.
That's kind of interesting.
Well, tell me about
Star
it.
Star Wars has been known to do that before.
Tell me about it. Who is it?
I don't know their names.
Exactly. 05. But how many years ago was that?
That's I heard.
Oh, that's
years.
More.
I heard that they auditioned over 37,000 people.
I never got the job. That's bullshit.
The guys, they're called Crystal Clark and Pip Anderson.
Okay, those are fake names.
And
Pip? Hold on.
Pip.
Oh, Pip.
And
oh,
Harrison,
like Wally Pip.
Old
We're bringing
Harrison
it back.
Ford is still causing halt in production. Because he's old.
Yeah, old people take longer to heal.
You think he's lobbying for Shia LaBeouf?
LaBeouf?
No one is. He's in rehab. All right. What's next?
That's it for the news.
All right.
I no mean, more news.
But I think it is important to note. The only reason why I wouldn't put Star Wars news into our news thing is that
I'm sorry. Maybe I just won't do it then. Okay,
it's
no,
fine.
It's fine.
If you're
off the show
about it,
leave.
But that's it. That's all you have to say is that it's happened.
Khal Drogo is Aquaman.
That's also we talked about that. I think.
Yeah, that's old news.
Whatever. You know. And Community coming back. We talked about that.
Did you know it's coming to
I
Yahoo?
I don't care about Community anymore. I'm over it.
I went to the Yahoo Screen website, and that is the most difficult thing to navigate.
Yahoo
in my entire
is
life.
Horrible at UI.
They
design.
Better figure that out. Before season 6 drops, because otherwise
they got an app for it on your.
They
got an app for it on Roku.
I've had a Yahoo account forever because that's originally who we got our internet from back in the day.
Oh boy!
So like, I got an email address from them back in the day, and their level of design, and how like nice it is, has not changed since I got the email account like in the late 90s. Like they need to bring someone in to help fix their crap because it's unusable. It's just bad. It's not unusable. You can use it, but it's just ugly and it's not intuitive.
Well, yeah, their Yahoo Screen.
I'm
website
using it.
Has yeah,
a,
I'm using it.
It has a black like background with like dark letters on top. I don't understand.
It's bad.
It just looks bad. And it has autoplay video.
Mm-hmm.
So I click to go look at a category, and it starts playing an SNL clip, which they're like, these are exclusive, and I can find them on Hulu
anywhere.
And everywhere else in the world.
No, but they're exclusive.
They're losing relevancy and they don't know how to keep it.
Well, if they make Community good, then I'm in.
We'll see.
You know, they outbid Hulu. Like that's how they got it.
Huh?
That's crazy to me.
It's because they're
Hulu
trying.
Hulu knows a sinking ship when they see it.
They're trying to save themselves.
You know,
Hulu was like, "It's my max bid. I'm not going above it.
$3." Yahoo's like, "I got four.
I got more. 50.
We'll pay a little more if you let us have Allison.
Hey,
for
the CEO
while.
Isn't no, having his muffin this Jesus. Afternoon. The creeping Skittles bag has startled our host.
Very sad day when a man is scared by a Skittles bag.
Well, there was a spider at the beginning of the show. He didn't know what the
it
hell
was
that
more
was.
Than a spider. There was a lot of things happening. Where are we?
Box office top 10.
Count me down.
You're standing on number 10.
Edge of Tomorrow. If you do a number 9.
Think like a man, too.
Then we'll call you number 8.
Jersey Boys.
I heard they're a pretty number 7.
Mallow 50 Cent.
If you are trying to, number six.
Earth the Echo.
Then we'll tell you number five.
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
You can find him at number four.
22 Jump Street.
Unless you, number three.
Deliver us from evil.
Which is also called number two.
Tammy.
She is number one.
Transformers Age of Extinction.
All right, before we get into the numbers compared to last week, I want to make an important point here.
Oh. Important point being made by Jordan here.
Transformers is a fucking horrible movie. Yeah. I wasn't here to talk about it.
I enjoyed it.
It is a... I'm sorry.
If you I don't fucking like it.
If you were telling the truth.
30% is truthful.
Okay.
And, I enjoyed the human element.
The fact that Once Upon a Time is...
See my last week review.
And the fact that Transformers is making stupid money.
What about Earth to Echo?
That's a kids' movie. That's trying to rip off of a bunch of different kids' movies in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And uses stupid found footage bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on? Like, what part of the public it just wants mindless entertainment? Like, I understand going into the theater to turn your brain off and just to enjoy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't find anything redeeming.
We got apes on horses with guns next week.
That looks fantastic.
I'm into that.
Yes, give me some of that.
I want all
Have
of
you
that.
Seen the first one?
Yeah.
You don't like it?
It's okay.
All right.
I have complaints about the first one, but you know what? It still got me excited.
Yes. I'm stoked for that. This is just... Transformers is just a bad movie. Yeah. A long, expensive, horrible movie thin characters and just...
No, Mark Wahlberg looks buff in there, so does T.J. Miller.
No, yeah, he's ripped.
Go back
but
last
he's
week, and
dumb.
You'll hear us all say the same.
I just I'm adding mine to the shit pile. I don't understand what's going on here. Why are these movies making so much money?
I will say about Transformers: Age of Extinction. It also came out in IMAX and 3D.
Yeah,
so there's that
making
money
extra money that
on
way.
Top of it. When Matt and I went to the earliest showing, they charged us full-on price for that.
What?
There was no break.
There was no price reduction?
We were at the first showing of the day, and it was... When
9
the
o'clock
told
in
me
the morning.
Price, I said, excuse me?
It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and they charge you full price?
I said, excuse me? It took me aback. I was shocked.
We went to the town center,
said,
too.
What, is there a student price? And she said, no. Like, I think it's only because
she
of Transformers.
She said there's a stupid price.
Like, full on.
And I think, the only thing I can come up with is a psychological conceit that people are so invested because they've watched every movie so far that they're just like, I need to see what happens
now. Did you see how much, did you go back and look at how much 3 made in its opening weekend?
No.
Because I think there's an interesting thing in cycles of series
mm-hmm.
where, and I say this with TV shows too, the fourth season of a TV show is like a make or break season. I mm-hmm. think the third in a series is also like, if that third goes down too far, they'll never make a fourth. Mm-hmm. But if it stays either the same or goes up, the fourth will make it, and it'll make even more money. Like, it's just a series thing where like you're saying with the investment. Once you get invested to a certain point, you're going to watch every single one.
Yeah.
And that's why Marvel movies are still doing
that's
so well.
That's why there's going to be a seventh Fast and the Furious.
You know, and if that does well, they'll make an eight.
I like the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah, I do, too.
I find them entertaining. I wanted to fucking wash my brain out after I watched that movie.
I saw this really good gift.
It's fucking awesome.
It was a gif. It said what Michael Bay thinks of all the haters on his movie, and it was
him taking a
Woody
shit.
Woody Harrelson from Zombieland wiping his tears with money.
No, he did not make this for artistic merit or anything.
No, I
don't.
Anything
he made this because he has like a tumor in his brain that makes that feels good when he makes CGI things.
I'm just sad about this because it's number one again.
Cargo fast, it go boom
by a pretty big margin.
And also part of the thing, there's clearly the people in this movie are there for money because I want to say poor Kelsey Grammer, but no, he's there because he knew it was a paycheck.
Yep,
like he knew that was a nice paycheck, but he acted his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other crazy.
Well, Kelsey Grammer doesn't know how to do anything else. Like you see him in the X movies, he's fantastic.
And like
X-Men movies.
Even Stanley Tucci, was like, God damn it, what are you doing here?
Stanley Tucci's great,
but like you're really doing your work.
Yeah. I'm not downing that.
Unlike,
I just don't understand.
Irish car driver who was just like, can you call me Lucky Charms some more?
I'm not opposed to stereotypes.
Okay, but there's
some more of them. They're magically delicious.
On the note of comparison, though, we're down 50 6.4 million.
Well, because look at those new releases.
Tammy.
New
releases.
Deliver us
from evil. That movie looks
don't forget
super
about
scary,
Atro.
And I really love all of that guy's movies.
Yeah.
But why is he putting out a horror movie in the middle of the summer?
Well, for the DVD release, I think. That's one theory.
Because it'll come out around
they put
October.
It, yeah, they try and time it so the DVD release
when
will
when did Edge of Tomorrow then. Come out?
Was it like 5 weeks
five
ago.
Weeks
5 weeks
oh,
ago. Okay.
Where was it?
Use the
first
document,
started.
Idiot.
Gosh.
Was
it number one?
I think it was number one.
No, it was number two.
Two behind
it was two.
Fault of Our Stars.
No, it was number one. It was one for like a week.
What's happening?
30 million. No. Go back to your French action show.
She's about to beat you up.
Okay.
God, it's so.
I don't know what just happened. Let's go.
Sweaty in here.
What are you talking about? It's
my
hot.
My pants are.
If you listen to Shut Up Leonard, when it gets hot on Shut Up Leonard, we get crazy. So
the
show stops making sense.
Cold sweat. Yeah, no, you're right.
Sitting.
I mean, you look at Tammy, you look at Deliver Us from Evil, like. That's not
and
the
also,
movie
I mean,
you go out to see on a hot summer
Deliver
day.
Deliver Us from Evil, actually, it was getting a lot of bad reviews just in general. And and I think it always doesn't, it never bodes well for.
You made a good joke. You don't go to see those movies on a hot summer day because they're going to be like 90 minutes. But you go see 3 hours of Transformers because it'll cool you down.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
I see what you're saying there, Jordan.
Yeah.
No, but I also think movies that are based on stuff like that, like this is based on the true accounts of an NYPD, whatever. Nobody gives a crap about that.
Yeah.
And like they go and they see it and they see how unrealistic it is and they go, okay, well, this is clearly mostly made up.
Yeah.
And if you look at any poster or billboard for that movie, half of that billboard is based on the true accounts of an NYPD.
They went too hard in that direction. But I think another thing that plays a good role into this is what I put in parentheses here. No one is seeing movies. Like
because
I can't think of
fireworks?
Because they're going to their family's houses. They're going to picnics. They're barbecuing. You know what I mean? All that time in which people would normally be seeing movies over the weekend is being spent with family. So I think that's the other reason why there's such a huge drop. I mean, I could look at this and look at bad releases and say 20 to 30 million might be the drop, but 50 million, it's got to be because people are out with their families.
Also, more about Transformers, because why not? I think part of what the odd thing about Transformers is you can feel that it's like genetically designed to be a blockbuster.
Yeah.
They did zero work on the script, but it's international.
Yeah.
I've got a huge cast. You got a hot guy. You got a hot lady.
Yeah. There's a formula they're following.
Yeah.
And you can see it. There's no heart and soul in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that because we look at movies in that way. But other people just see that and go, hey, it's Marky Mark. And it's an attractive woman. And oh, he's riding a fucking dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that movie.
And John Goodman's wisecracking his whole way through.
I mean, you're right. It's designed to make people go and spend money.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I don't want it to exist.
Question when you guys are done about Transformers.
I'm done.
Go, sir. On the document here, explain to me how Tammy can be out for 1 week and it made 21
because,
and then 32.
Because I was looking at that and I was thinking the same thing. It's because
it's
they
Thursday,
released
right?
it on like Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
The Wednesday night they started showing it.
4th of July, they'll instead of opening a show
on
Friday,
they
open it on Wednesday.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be the whole weekend's
No,
take?
They just count from Friday to Sunday.
No, they count Friday to Sunday.
Yeah.
So they don't add in the sales from Wednesday night and Thursday day.
So they count those as but they've been doing the Thursday day ones in our previous
but they don't count it as not always. Cuz sometimes the Thursday day like,
no, that's
opening
weird,
is
then.
So
that doesn't
little.
Make sense.
It's like very little.
So, but do they go for, like, they count as a prior week?
Yeah, they don't, because these are weekend numbers. And during the weekdays of Wednesday and Thursday, they don't count that. Because it seriously opened Wednesday night.
Our document confuses me now.
I don't know. Box office numbers, I always think, are made up, or...
Yeah, because I can go and look them up. Like, no joke, I've gone Sunday morning and gotten these numbers.
Yeah.
So how is it accounting for Sunday?
They're, like, guessing.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why.
But these are the numbers that they give us.
Yeah.
These are the numbers from Box Office Mojo.
And like, they're pretty close because I've gone back and looked, and they usually line up or at least very closely line up.
What was it? I had a crazy thought about box office numbers recently, and now I can't remember what it was. Do you need some, what'd they use in
cornstarch?
Corn
goddamn right, I'll take a whole bottle of that. They don't even put it in bottles.
All right, bottle of cornstarch for Matt.
Also, Adam, Jared Weaver's out of the game. Third inning. He left during warm-ups, Shoemaker took over for him.
Now everyone knows exactly when we're recording.
Yep, you're welcome. Welcome to our world. Oh, that's a Primus song. Anyone get that?
All right, if you don't want to go out and see movies, which you know what? I bet you don't, because it's...
that's what the numbers
say.
Your
choices are bad, and you should have seen whatever else was out in previous weeks. So you could pick up some new things on DVD and Blu-ray for this week.
You can watch Edge of Tomorrow again. Just saying.
Yeah, just watch that.
It's a good movie.
Watch that. Do a double feature. That and Maleficent.
Take someone to go see it.
Or if you want to do the Jonah Hill sequel double feature, do How to Train Your Dragon 2 and 22 Jump Street 2.
Those are both... I loved 22 Jump Street because, I mean, I know it was repetitious.
Yeah.
But How to Train Your Dragon was fantastic.
I haven't seen that one yet.
You need to.
I haven't seen either of them.
All right, then.
You should. They're good. They're actually pretty good.
Don't tell me what to do.
And the second one is more adult.
I'll cut you.
Yeah. How to Train Your Adult Dragons.
Yep.
The wine on your pants?
It's just all right. Like my fan fiction.
I'm trying to get into this new releases business.
New releases.
DVD and Blu-ray. Bad Words.
Has anybody seen this?
Fuck.
No.
Oh,
which
what?
One was that?
That's the one with, what's his name? From
Jason
Arrested.
Bateman.
Yep.
Has directed and starred in it, and I think even wrote in it.
Wrote in it?
Yep.
He's about that guy who finds a loophole, so he goes back and does a spelling bee when he's like 30.
Oh, yeah, that looked dumb.
It looked great to me.
It looked
I don't like
funny.
Jason Bateman.
It looked dumb
Whoa.
Funny.
Are you're anti-Arrested Development and anti-community right now?
Yeah.
What are you doing in my house?
Yeah. How did you get over the threshold? He usually has to invite people in like that.
How did that cinder block not drop on you?
No.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's why it was sitting there. It missed.
It missed.
By about 3 hours.
next up, these are available separate or together. Nymphomaniac Volume 1 and Nymphomaniac Volume 2.
That's the one with that really horrible cover of that dude, right?
The
guy from...
There's that, and then there's the ones with the ladies, and then there's ones with other dudes.
I like ladies.
This is Lars von Trier's
LVT.
Sexcapade film, sequel, film, double film?
With Shia LaBeouf.
He shows up at one point. He's not a large part
Give
of it.
Give me your booth.
Because there's a lot of people
oh,
in it.
Not a large part.
Yeah, he's not a large part. He's a small part.
Which bathroom do you run into, man?
Charlotte Gainsborough.
As always.
Plays the main lady at one point. Because it's like a
is
lady...
Do you think he's married to her? But just not saying?
I don't think they're married.
No?
But you've seen some Lars von Trier's.
Mm-hmm. Two. And she was in both of them.
Yeah. So if Tom was here, I think he'd tell you he liked it. I don't know. He watched it. Then...
It did something for me.
No comment. Our final DVD and Blu-ray release is The Raid 2.
Winner of the week of the year.
Yep.
That's our pick.
I pre-ordered the shit out of that movie.
I'm going to go buy both of them at once.
Nice.
Do you know what episode we reviewed it in?
Episode
it was
331.
It was the twofer with Cap, right?
Elijah.
Oh, I should.
It was that episode. So listen to that review, and we'll put a link to buy The Raid 2 on Blu-ray.
Are they going
to
do a box set, or do I have to go buy both?
Amazon.
Probably have to buy both of them.
Doing an advertisement here.
Sorry.
So if you click that link that we're going to put through, you can buy it from Amazon and support us in the process.
Yeah, the first one's only $10.
Oh, nice.
On Blu-ray.
Yeah. Blu-ray. You need to watch both of them because they're both fan-fucking-tastic.
And while the stories don't connect so much,
They
do enough that you should watch them in order, especially because they kind of, but not really, but kind of do just follow the single progression of like the same story. Like one movie ends, the other one immediately begins.
All right. DVD only. There's a lot of DVD onlys. Get ready for this.
Can I say it?
You can say it if you want to.
Banana, motherfucker.
Oh.
Don't mind if I do.
They blur out the U and the E.
Blur.
They blur it with a star.
This movie came out 3 years ago. Why is it just coming out
it's
now?
Just now in DVD. It's a series of shorts, actually. From
Jean shorts?
From a Portuguese...
Tight shorts?
Director.
Corduroys?
Or Brazilian director, I don't
Hot
know.
Pants? Hot pant shorts?
Well, there's Banana Motherfucker. That's we're going to try and pronounce it. Trust Game, Papa Wrestler, and Metal Creepers.
I like Papa Wrestler.
That's from up-and-coming director Fernando Ale?
Ale,
ale, ale, ale.
See, I don't trust it when in the very... Because someone wrote this who made the movie, I'm assuming. So to say the up-and-coming director Like, that's a game, that's of someone who's making a video game going, the up-and-coming and amazingly reviewed video game. No, don't, we don't believe you, because you made the video game, you wanted to buy it. I don't believe that he's an up-and-coming director until I see some of his work in book.
Okay, then go watch Banana.
I guess I'm going to have to see
Papa Wrestler.
Papa Wrestler.
It's the sequel to Papa Yo.
That's a good game.
That's a good movie, too. I just made it.
Next DVD only, we got Breath of the Gods. And if you think this sounds awesome, you're in for a disappointment. It's a documentary about yoga.
What?
You're making that up. You're making that up.
That's insane.
Modern yoga.
You're making that up.
The form practiced daily by tens of millions of people around the world goes back directly to the god Shiva, according to Indian tradition. At the same time, however, modern yoga originated in the early 20th century, a creation of Indian savant T. Krishnamacharya, who died in 89.
Say
that story
please?
Is far less unknown. Krishnamacharya.
Mm.
Krishnamacharya's life and teachings are seen through the eyes of the director Jan Schmidgeier on his search for authentic yoga.
Now say Bunraku.
Bunraku. His journey leads him from the legendary students and relatives of Krishnamacharya to the source of modern yoga at the palace of Maharaja of Mysore. Didn't catch that. Blah, blah, blah. Basically, yoga is breath of the gods.
Yoga.
And that's what it means.
Yoga flame.
Get it? Yoga. Breath of the gods. I don't know.
You know, guys, it's so hot in here that I'm putting this can.
Empty can.
Virtually empty can on top of my head, simulating a cooling effect that is not happening.
This next DVD only release, I wish it was actually a boxing match, because this would be a great fight. It's David Bowie and Lou Reed, the Thin White Duke versus the King of New York.
Explain.
Doesn't that sound like a good boxing match?
Fuck yeah.
This is some kind of concert film.
I would love if my boxing name was the Thin White Duke.
That's one of David Bowie's personas.
Yeah, that would be awesome if that was my name.
Next up, this is another one of those DVDs that's meant to fool you. It's called Nature, Leave It to Beavers.
You know, I've been looking for that Leave It to Beaver. They finally got it to box set, huh?
Yeah.
Is this all 30 seasons?
Put out by PBS.
Hmm.
It's weird that they put the title is Nature, Leave It to Beavers. But, you know, they did like nature, didn't they?
Yeah, Joan Cleaver. She was a fan of staying inside.
Joan Cleaver.
That was her name, right?
Yeah, that might be.
Yeah, okay.
I remember, what was it?
Or is it the Osborne?
What was one of the friend's name had a weird nickname?
Oh,
Choppy or?
No, Wally.
Chippo?
Wally was the brother.
Yeah.
Eddie Haskell.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Didn't he have a weird nickname?
You're thinking of Boners to Bone?
I'm thinking of Boner. That's all that I can think of. Boners. next up on DVD only, it's not old.
Tell me then, what is it?
It's new.
Well, what is it?
It's new.
How new is it?
I just know that it's new.
Oh, wow, interesting. Where can I get it if it's so new?
On DVD only this
That's
week.
That's not working out, what I did there.
Do you want to hear do you want me to read this description?
Read it to me, sir.
New is the prodigal son story of Isaiah, told by Penny, who along with her best friends Natty, Emmy, and Jess, spend their summer working at a creative arts center. Are you confused yet?
Is this better than Earth to Echo, anyone? You think?
Who?
They participate in the Art of the Park Festival, blah, blah, blah. Summers was not without its challenges, though. Isaiah, Emmy's adopted brother, is tempted by a top entertainment talent scout to compromise his beliefs and leave his family and kids who look up to him for a life of fame. And we can't forget about Penny's dog, Judah, a big golden doodle full of energy.
You're making this up.
Nope. And, what did you see at the very end? It says
it's religious. Yes,
his God-given talent.
I looked it up.
Kickflix, the people who produce this movie, is a Christian movies and family programming to entertain, teach godly principles, and inspire.
Well, with
people.
All those biblical names, I didn't know that.
But I'm curious because
Prodigal Son.
The plot of this film seems to be that he's tempted by a top entertainment talent scout to compromise his beliefs and leave his family.
You
blah,
think
blah.
That top entertainment talent scout is his acronym is Devil? Satan.
I'm D.E.ville.
I'm Samuel
Satan.
Anthony Tony for short.
No, it's five different people that come up to him, and when you put the first letter of each of their names together, it equals Satan.
Yeah.
Can I read the next one?
I'm hungry, guys.
What?
I Oh, Jesus.
Are we there yet? Oh, yes. Please read the next
one. Into the meat of it. I got one. All
in
right.
Your microphone.
The next DVD only is called Pizza Man, starring Frankie Munoz. Featuring Adam West. Stan Lee.
Stan Lee.
All right, here. I'm going to read a little
bit. This is the other tell me when this movie came out.
Now, is this a cameo?
A year ago.
Yeah.
Came out a year ago.
Yeah.
What?
Hold on. He can't get in his own Marvel movies, but he can do this?
Yep.
God damn
it,
Marvel.
All right, here we go. You guys ready? Matt Burns is many things. Loser, dork, pizza boy. But a hero isn't one of them. That is, until he's forced to eat a genetically engineered tomato that was designed to create super soldiers.
Eat it, kid!
A routine pizza delivery turns into a fight for his life when he accidentally stumbles into the middle of a heated corporate takeover that plans on using this science for world domination. Equipped with an indestructible body and advanced strength, Matt must choose to use his new power to fight the EDGE Corporation, led by convincing and murderous VP John Kreider. That's pretty much it.
Do we think that...
No, you got to get to the best part.
Okay.
He puts on the mascot costume for the pizza place and becomes Pizza Man. That's why he's Pizza Man.
Do we think that Stan Lee has just recycled his role from Mallrats?
Well, he's on the cover. And then what's up? Does the guy on the cover next to Stan Lee have a weird face, or is that just me?
That's supposed to be Adam West.
Is that Adam
And
West?
He looks like Ronald Reagan.
What is going on with his face? On the cover that I'm looking at, his face looks really weird.
And Dean Pelton looks like he's on there, too. But
yeah, it looks like Dean Pelton over here. But this face, doesn't he look like he's got a weird face thing going on?
Yes. Awesome. Could you get any closer to that screen?
Not to be confused with... By the way, there's a DVD version of this that says that came out in 2011. So I don't know about that. On Amazon, and it's been on sale since it's available for pre-order, but they say it's been out. It was released in 2011. And this is not to be confused
with saying here, Jordan?
Pizza Man that came out in 2009, starring Bill Maher. That says before he was politically incorrect, before he did Real Time, he was the Pizza Man.
You're blowing my mind right now.
And it's a pizza guy holding a revolver.
Oh, dear.
And then there's like a Playboy bunny in the background.
Does he rob people? Is this 30 minutes or less?
Let's see here. A zany comedy from the team behind the cult classic Cannibal Women and Avocado Jungle of Death.
Dear.
What begins as a routine delivery for Elmo Bun, a hard-boiled pizza man, quickly becomes a comedic journey through the underbelly of L.A. Between shootouts, car chases, and steamy encounters with wicked dames, he bumps into Dan Quayle, I guess, Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump, and other infamous 80s icons.
What?
And this came out in 2009.
What?
No, it didn't.
That's what it says.
Maybe it got released in 09.
DVD release was 2009.
Yeah, that's from the 80s.
Dub video.
Wait, hold on. I've got a year. 91.
91.
Elmo Bun.
Say it again.
Elmo
That is such
Bun.
A 90s... 90s.
Oh, yeah, and he also starred He starred in Cannibal Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death.
Give it to me.
Oh, wow.
This is... just going through John Mayer's thing. John Mayer? Bill Maher.
Bill Maher.
Woo.
Good try.
He started a film called House 2, The Second Story.
House 2? The first house was a good horror movie.
Did they just congratulate themselves as soon as they figured out?
No, they wanted to make that movie, but they had to make the first one first.
I got this great
title, but it's for a sequel. We have to write a movie.
First house was really good, and it's on Prime Instant Video.
You know, we could just call it House.
Because you know what? If John Ratzenberger's in the first one, I'm in.
Oh, and then a movie came out in 2008 by the same name.
This is not a sequel to our beloved House.
House. No. That movie's weird, and I turned it off.
The tagline for House 2, the second story, is, it's getting weirder. So, it's right up your alley.
Getting way weirder.
Getting weirder.
Yeah, here's the thing from the first House movie.
Oh, God. Yeah, this is what I don't like.
That looks like Two-Face, but bastardized.
Nice.
What are you looking up?
Naked
Except
women.
For the next part?
All right. New on Blu-ray. The Time Machine. This is the one from the 60s.
No Hot Tub?
1960, in fact.
This isn't the Guy Pearce drama?
This is the old one, and I remember watching this with my father. He for some reason, he really liked all the Time Machine movies. He even watched the one that wasn't even Guy Pearce. There was one that came out before Guy Pearce, but after this one that was, like, really bad.
Huh.
I think it was a sci-fi
voice.
One.
Feel that voice for that
curtain?
Priest? Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing we could do.
Oh.
Well, that's not going to help you, Jordan.
Glory, glory, glory. Oh, my goodness. Woo. My balls like, are going to be cooled off
like
in
a little
seconds.
Fan right there.
All right, and then TVD. We have a show called Vicious.
Now, what is this?
Season one.
Okay. Look at these gentlemen.
Yeah, it's Ian McKellen.
Sir.
And, oh, yes.
The Knights.
Sirs McKellen and Jacoby. They're two men who've lived together for 50 years. They're partners. We love each other, but fight all the time. And they get scared by Skittles packets moving behind their laptops.
Oh, man.
But basically, I remember seeing GIFs of this, and it looks pretty funny. They're like, they make funny jokes at each other.
I can fly high. I'm a Skittles.
No one knows what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Yeah, this is British. PBS British.
You think that's on Hulu Plus, then? They got all the Brits.
Are these two knights British?
Sorry, you could wear them if you wanted to.
Pushing your luck.
Oh, it feels so good.
So if you want to watch any of these, go to your local video store. And if you find one, tell us about it. NEVpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter @NEVpodcast. Is it time for us to board the train?
It is.
It's choo-choo!
As long as it's not in the tail section.
All aboard!
We all have tickets, right?
Yeah.
Adam, did you... Oh, God.
Last call for train ride.
Good luck.
All aboard.
Hey, what's happening? Why is it so cold? Hey, guys.
Shut up and give me your food bar.
Protein bar.
So we're going to talk about Snowpiercer, which is a film directed by Junho Bong, who also directed The Host.
Yep, which I need to see.
What is The Host?
Oh,
that's the monster movie, yeah?
Yeah, it's a monster movie. It's a family movie. It's I've heard it described a lot of different ways.
Adult entertainment film.
But it's like Jaws, but a comedy.
Yes. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
to be confused with this young adult movie
Stephanie
that came
Meyer
out.
No, yeah.
Host.
Yeah.
This movie stars Chris Evans, Tilda Swinton, Octavia Spencer, Jamie Bell, Ewan Bremmer.
Quan Hurt.
That guy.
Eddie Harris.
And that guy. And that's it. That's
Everybody,
seven
John Hurts. It's a high death count for only seven people.
Yeah. So this the basic story is that in the future the world is all ice and snow.
Good Lord, look
so
at that, boys!
Because they're trying to come up with a way to stop global warming.
So yeah, that's, he said. Look, I
that's
don't
nice.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, explain that.
So the whole premise of the movie, it actually started off in a way that I didn't expect. It shows a whole bunch of, in quotations, old film footage of newscasters coming up with, like, describing ways that the scientists of the world were coming together to stop global warming because it was becoming such a problem that the oceans were rising and animals were dying. And so they came up with this chemical that they were going to release as a gas into the atmosphere.
What did they call it?
And
WRX?
It was something.
They had a number in there.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but it was some chemical name, and they were going to release it into the atmosphere, and it was going to bring.
Thank you.
It was going to bring the temperature down. Well, no, that bring the temperature up.
Ow!
It would bring the temperature down, so that way it would stop global warming. But it had the side effect, the unforeseen side effect that everyone should have seen coming.
Yeah.
That it brought the temperature down so much that it created another ice age. Mm-hmm. It kind of advanced it because I mean the Earth. I don't know if people know about geology. The Earth moves in cycles. It warms up. It cools down. We had an ice age a long time ago. There'll be an ice age thousands and thousands of years into the future, and it basically just made it happen right now.
This has been Geology with Jordan.
Yep.
So there was a man who had a plan.
Yep.
And he made a train.
Yep.
We call him the leader.
Wilford? What's his name?
Yeah, Willard.
Willard?
No, Wilford.
Wilford. Which it bothered me. Every time they said it, it sounded like they were saying it wrong.
Yeah.
Wilford.
It was like Williford or something.
I think it was just Wilford. But what some of the Brits sound like they were saying Wilfred. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? It's Wilford.
So that dog.
Wilforte.
Yeah, right. Wilforte. So but the crazy thing is, you find out in the film that he didn't actually make the train for this purpose.
Nope.
He made the train because he fucking loves trains.
Yeah.
And the train was made to survive cold just because it was going to go through cold places.
Yep.
And that's like, I think that's a really cool part of the story that it's not, like, it would be dumb if he was just like, oh, I can see an ice age coming. Let me build a cool,
no,
really
and,
cool
and he
train.
He made it because he wanted to create an eternal engine.
Yeah.
Something that would last forever and it wouldn't need more fuel. Mm-hmm. It could just run by itself forever.
Yeah.
And then it just so happened.
What's the real name for that?
I forget.
Because they call it an eternal engine.
I believe it's called electric cars.
No, it's a
perpetual engine.
Perpetual motion engine.
Perpetual motion engine.
Yeah. It's a thanks for doing the hand motion thing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. There's. I mean, we can talk about that now. This movie starts one way, but then it turns into like almost a delightful satire of like how weird societies form.
I couldn't think of the movie that I thought of at the time that I was going to compare it to. I was like, it's something meets like a Wes Anderson movie.
Did have a very Wes Andersonian feel.
Yeah, at one point it did, and I think it was appropriate because if you're going to have a society that has to be self-sustaining, you have to make the population hysterical. And
you have to make them believe in insane things.
Yeah, and how do you do that? You have to do it when they're young. Mm-hmm. And like that scene did not surprise me in the least. Like, it's meant to be shocking and I guess funny in a certain way, but man, there are cults that are just like that in real life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It may have been all colorful and cute on screen, but man, that shit really exists.
Andrew, you said BioShock. In my head, I thought Fallout at the time.
Oh,
yeah.
Both. Why not both?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Make them both.
So this is, if you're not getting the picture of this, it's a post-apocalyptic, you know, wasteland kind of movie.
Except the wasteland is ice.
Yeah, it's ice. And the people on the train are lucky enough to be on the train, maybe. But there's a class system. There's like I wouldn't even call it unspoken. It's just a class system that exists in such a way where...
Well, they name it just like a real train. First class, economy, and then, you know, and poor people.
Yeah, sure.
Caboose.
And we get the idea that every once in a while someone will... Is Adam off?
I don't hear him.
I'm on.
He's on. I hear him.
I see him on the board.
Okay, good.
You get the idea that right away they show you that sometimes they'll go to the back and they'll see if someone has something that they need mm-hmm. from the back.
Yep.
Like they take a cello player, violin player. And he wants to take his wife, but they won't let him. And so they're just like, he's like, well, I guess I'll go.
I love how they bring that back.
Yeah, I love how it comes back.
No, but every time they meet someone who's been taken from them, it's like
they don't recognize them. They've been brainwashed.
They've been brainwashed.
Yeah.
They buy into this thing because they've gotten out of the hardest part of the train and they're up in a better part.
Yep.
So they buy into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, that's like painful. That's like, that's really emotional to watch.
It's really sad. Yeah.
Yeah,
just like real life. This movie like touches on a lot of different subjects. It's a movie I thought was really clever and smart.
It's something I didn't expect. It's a movie with a message, and unfortunately, it gets smacked in the face too much.
At the end, especially.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
You know, I thought this movie was going to be like a sci-fi raid where it's just total straight action, or you know, and nothing else.
But it definitely has those moments.
Yeah,
but there's definitely a lot of philosophy and like character development. Like, I didn't expect a lot of the way the characters evolved and the paths that you find out about different people.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long was this movie?
Two hours and 6 minutes, 5 minutes.
Wow, there was a story-wise a lot going on. And
yeah.
And it wasn't like, wait, okay, what? I'm confused. Like everything, the continuity was really well, and like, I'm sorry, I like this movie a lot.
No, and the action scenes are really good. I'm glad you brought those up. And Matt, you thought it was going to be like all action, but I think you weren't disappointed by it,
the
action either, because it was
wow. It
was shot pretty well.
Yeah,
I think. The scenes were exciting and different.
And like considering all the scenes are in close quarters and with large groups, I think they do a good job of kind of segregating. I think of movies like the Dark Knight Rises. Or there's another movie that I'm thinking of. I can't remember right now, but it's in my head. Where there's a bunch of groups fighting. Oh, the Warriors.
Cool.
You know, there's a bunch of groups fighting, and they cut to different characters and see how they're, you know, how they're engaging in battle.
Mm-hmm.
But like this movie did a good job of letting you see everyone simultaneously,
yeah.
and how they're being affected by combat, and it gets brutal once they run into those dudes with the mask. Like, it gets brutal.
Well, that scene where Chris Evans is kind of running through and they slow-mo him, it reminded me exactly of 300 when
yeah.
the Unitas
yeah,
comes
yeah.
out.
But see, I feel like that's appropriate because in 300, it's all about that canyon and the closed space and being able
yeah.
to funnel people. And in the train, like, that's why the framing, like, I love the framing in this movie. Like, I retweeted somebody on Twitter for the a shot where he posits that the guards don't have any bullets,
Mm-hmm.
And he takes the barrel of the gun and he puts it right up against his head and he pulls the trigger for the guy. Mm-hmm. And that shot is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of scenes, even the most brutal parts of this movie, that are just beautifully shot and beautifully framed. And it was that framing that gave us the sense where we weren't just looking at one person fight. We were watching this guy fight and behind him another guy, because those close quarters made it so that even though there is a battlefield that's being fought, it's all together. And it never, it felt cramped when it needed to feel cramped, but when the camera needed to feel free and you gave you the feeling of moving amongst the action, it was great. And they did a great job.
Like, to your point, I think it is like the raid, in like the first raid, in that each room, you know, it takes place in an apartment complex, but each room felt like a different set piece. And on this train, each compartment that they went to felt like a different set piece. It didn't feel like you were in the same place the whole time, because that gets boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was great and brilliant how they did it.
Yeah. I just thought the way that they really showed some of the intensity, like at the very end, when that really badass kid who doesn't talk got, you know, when he died.
Yeah.
And he was just pushing it really, really close. It reminded me of that scene from Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always super powerful. When they get real close right there
and you can see
him
the anguish. And, yeah.
And he knows he's about to die. Oh, that part, like, that's still...
Are you going to cry?
Huh? I'm gonna cry a little bit.
The
okay?
vapors?
But no, that part from tissues. Saving Private Ryan still sticks with
yeah.
me. That's
I agree. Cool. Yeah.
Because he's... Yeah. Gives me chills. That, and they did it because it's a shot that's been done before, but they just did it so well because you really felt for the kid. They and made the, you care about
And the
him.
Fact that the knife was in his hand, yeah. too. So he's... Oh.
That one guy was way too overpowered.
I think they're...
He didn't need to come back. He came back and nothing happened because of that.
It didn't mean anything. No, they already had a mob
there
of
was
angry
some, There was
guys.
Some emotional... Like, I mean, you love that moment when the girl says no.
Yeah.
I mean, that was part of him coming back.
It seemed like he didn't need to come back. They already had an angry mob there.
I think that was kind of like a surprise thing. Here's something you didn't expect.
I didn't think she was going to be the one that we're following at the end. I mean, I thought it was going to be Chris Evans.
Yeah, that's what I think I want to bring up in such a way where up to a certain point in this film, I didn't know the tone that they were going for. If they were going for more realism or if they were going more for...
Other than biblical.
Like this is a movie kind of thing. You know how it's like Transformers where it's like, oh, this is a movie. No one here is going to die.
Yeah.
But this is not that. This is more on the realistic aspect where... there's
everybody dies.
But it starts with one of the main characters dying in the fish fight scene.
Who's the lady that won the Oscar? What's
Octavia
her name?
Spencer.
Yeah. Oh, she's
but
so
when,
good.
When the character who dies in the fish fighting scene dies, that's when I knew. I was like, no one's safe. Like, I thought he was a real major character.
A guy with one arm?
No, Jamie Bell.
Jamie Bell.
If you really need to know.
Nose Picker
Jr. Spoil it.
Oh, it was a little confusing because you said fish, and then I got the image of the aqua car. With the aquarium,
no, the fish.
But you mean the fish gang?
Yeah,
the fish gang.
They cut a fish and they put fish blood on their axes.
Yep.
Like,
oh God! Okay,
that was crazy.
Can we go back to the Scottish guy when they stick his arm out?
Ewan Bremner. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Bremner.
That was a very like horrific torture porn type scene. That
well, I it's close to torture porn because we see his anguish and everything. But if it was torture porn, I feel like they would have shown us when they. Broke his arm off.
Yeah, no.
They didn't. They cut away. It wasn't torture porn.
But you see the broken arm pieces on the
ground.
Yeah,
but it was torture porn in the sense that, like, his emotions, like, delivered it for you. Like, it made you feel the anguish that he was going through.
I see what you're going for. I just have a problem with that phrase, because torture porn glorifies action.
Okay, I got a semi.
I'll go torture, torture, no porn.
Really?
But here's what I think that's very important. The
good call.
Watching his... Seeing their form of torture of putting his arm out, and then when John Hurt and the others come up, and you see that they are also amputees,
they've all lost stuff. But you connect it to the torture
to that,
and then you find out later
John Hurt's a rebel, and then later on you find out that it's an entirely different reason. For the arms and legs to be gone.
Man.
And it changes the way that you look at his character twice. There's a double switch at the end on him.
And
I totally thought that's how he lost all his limbs.
Exactly.
The entire time
you thought, oh, this guy's a rebel,
and it's amazing too, because at that same time you you feel a lot more for John Hurt and the other people there.
Yeah.
And then you immediately start to distrust and dislike the character that you've been yearning for to win the entire movie. Mm-hmm. Like, Chris Evans becomes a despicable character at that point.
Yeah.
Who,
at the end.
At the end, because he's been looking for redemption.
Yeah.
Which we all, redemption stories are something that people can get behind, but like, they make him such a despicable character at that point.
Yeah.
Because there's a point where Jamie Bell dies where I realize, like, yeah, Chris Evans did what he did to win the battle, because you have to take Tilda Swinton down and in order to stop everyone from fighting. But like, he let that guy die.
Yeah,
like, that is
great cost.
At great cost. And he was willing to make that sacrifice. And when you find out what Jamie Bell meant to him and how important Jamie Bell's character was to Chris Evans' character, like, that tells you about what he's capable of.
Well, and he had so much guilt. There's a line where Chris Evans is talking to John Hurt, and he's like, I wish he didn't look up to me.
Yeah.
Like, I really think
he
shouldn't, because of things that I don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, that's, and I thought, wow, that, you know, it all comes around. And
it
then
makes sense.
And then the thing with there's the two parents of two separate children.
Uh-huh.
There are two children that are taken early in the film, and the parents join the crew that are going to go from car to car and lead the fight.
Uh-huh.
And I really like that.
Yep.
Because a lot of times in movies, the parent is like weak. The hero will say, "Stay behind. I'll go get you."
Yeah, yeah, they're waiting at home.
He tried that. Chris Evans tried that, but they didn't have, like, Octavia Spencer was like, "No, I'm coming." And the guy with one arm was like, "You can't stop me."
I'm sorry. What's his name?
One arm. One arm.
Scottish.
Good old one arm.
Ewan Bremner.
I just remember him from The Rundown and from
Trainspotting. He's in quite a few films.
Oh, he was in The Rundown.
Uh-huh. He was the guy yelling Shakespeare.
He's Scottish.
Sorry, can you do it again?
Yeah, when I was telling Benson about his character, I said, yeah, he's buff. And Benson was like, he's buff? Like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's pretty cut up in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Adrian Brody status. Someone who's slender that buffs up quickly.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know what you were going for there, but I haven't seen
Predators.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
He's ripping.
I just remember the trailer.
Yeah, I don't know where else we can go on this movie besides. I mean, we all liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, the complaints we have are minor.
Overall, it's a really interesting movie with a concept I haven't seen before. And
I did. Yeah,
they execute it really well.
When there are these originally created worlds that have to have things fall into place for them, for the story to get going and to evolve. I always feel like, well, is that realistic? Like, does that really happen? And, you know, you kind of question. I didn't really question much as far as, well, they all live on this train. How does that, like, it all gets explained relatively well. I'm like, okay, I buy it. It doesn't bother me.
Did you guys have any problem with the fact that, I mean, I saw this brought up online, so I'm wondering if what you guys think about it. The two train cars nearest to the engine are a rave car where people are partying, and then a place for druggies to hang out.
Here's what I'm going to put to you.
Oh, I have a narrative, because I always look at it as a narrative, as a story. And I know narrative conceits that explain those two occurrences.
Because I looked at it as we don't see every car that they go
into. Oh, yeah, because it shows the train from the outside.
It's massive.
It's huge.
Much longer than what we see.
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably count 20 cars that they walk through, but that train's like 50 or more cars.
More, yeah.
Especially at the end, you get a real idea of how big it is.
Because it does a huge wide shot of the train.
And we never really see, like, housing areas.
Nope.
So that there's got to be places for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because at one point we do. They walk through a housing area that's empty.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, where's everybody? It's like, oh, I guess they must have ran off. Like, so we see one housing area, so I guess they didn't want to show us another.
Yep.
And another and another. But I'm curious what your thought is then.
Okay, so it ties back into the class scene that we were all talking about earlier, about how just fantastical it was and how like a cult it is. And to me it makes sense, because if the train, if the engine is sacred and the Wilford is this like mythical keeper of the sacred engine, then the drug in this universe, the toxic waste that comes off of it, is the car in front of the engine, the next car. Mm-hmm. So that's where all of the toxic waste comes out of. Mm-hmm. So to get high off of the toxic waste that comes from it is a sacred experience. Mm. It would be getting you closer to their god.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it makes sense that they have all of their devoted followers who are having these religious experiences. Mm. And then the next train in front of that would be the place where everyone goes to celebrate, this god that maybe they're all god, worshiping.
But
right? So it makes a narrative consent that you'd have those two trains nearest, those two nearest to the thing. And also, it would contain the most fanatical people, so that way if the engine needed to be defended, it's there. Those are the people who are most willing, because you have the addicts, and you have the fanatics who are constantly celebrating.
Like they did.
Yeah.
If you see one biblical movie this year, make it Snowpiercer.
Yeah. And I loved the narrative, because it makes us think certain things about each of the characters. Like, we think John Hurt is a certain kind of person, and then we find out at the end he's not exactly who we thought.
Yeah.
And we find out Ed Harris is more complicated, but also less complicated in certain ways than we thought the whole time of what Wilfred would be. We find out that the addict, the security expert, we think he's a certain way the entire movie. Yeah. And you find out at the very end, he's not doing what we thought he was doing.
His motivation
is completely different, and the things that he finds that we see at the very end of the movie hint at, you know, the larger hope that comes at the end.
Yeah, I would say this movie's interesting because it ends on a note of hope.
Yep.
Which sometimes post-apocalyptic movies do, and sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this one wouldn't in so many words.
Yeah.
But no, it really does end on a note of hope in a weird way.
Because right before they cut to them like getting out of the train, you're like, okay, this movie's over. They're done. Everything is done.
I love how they show Chris Evans and her father. They both encircle them to protect them, because they know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So they shield them. That's the only reason they survive. So I love that. But because if you're not paying attention, you don't even realize that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can I bring up something real quick?
Oh, yeah.
I have a question. Okay, remember the scene in like the personal saunist?
Yes.
That, like, the our assassin man here, the man who never dies.
Yeah. You need one of those in every movie.
He goes. He opens up one, and there's just a lady in there, but then she's hiding someone behind him. Who was she hiding behind him?
The daughter.
The daughter. Okay.
The Asian daughter.
The one he's been trying to kill the whole movie.
That says something about maybe the people, like the class. I don't know. I just thought it was weird that
didn't she had a weapon on the lady?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She was holding like a knife to her back.
You know what? You didn't even know this movie took place on a train. You thought it was Speed 2. Shut up.
I wish it was Speed 2.
It was Speed 3.
high velocities.
The train will go off the tracks. I also I want to note there was a really great like, I would say unexpected shooting scene when there's the two characters shooting at each other through the glass walls of the train as it goes around a corner.
That part kind of messed with me because I like guns. And there's no way that the gun that Chris Evans had
would do that.
It
wouldn't have the range.
Cool,
it wouldn't have the accuracy.
It was so cool.
The other guy had the right gun.
Yep.
But still a tough shot. But Chris Evans' gun had no chance.
That was such a cool scene.
What was he? He was 17 or something when he got on the train. Yeah. How would he know how to shoot a gun that good?
Yeah. That's a tough shot.
Because he's never used a gun before, apparently.
He was a shield.
Well, I don't know. He kind of says that he had a really troubled youth before he got on the train, so maybe he was...
It's not impossible that he hasn't had a gun.
But still, that gun's not possible to do that.
It was cool.
I'll buy.
It was
cool factor.
It was a super cool
logic factor. Way down here.
No. As soon as the Earth turned to ice, my suspension of disbelief went way high.
I'll buy the world turning into icicle. Okay, but that
icicle world,
that is just too much. Okay.
Yeah, I saw a post on the internet of just a dude who listed like 23 things of why he hates this movie, and that was one of them.
Although, like, it was pretty cool when they revealed, oh, hey, we got guns. Like, we do have guns, they work.
Oh, not everything is extinct.
Yeah, suckers.
That was, oh, man. That totally turned the tables, because up to that point, everything was feeling good.
You thought it was going to be, and then just.
We brought guns to a gun party, bitch. What'd you bring? Knives?
Eggs?
They did. Oh, I thought in that basket of eggs, it was like a bomb or something. I really thought it was
Super Mario Brothers. You don't use a bomb on a train, man.
Yeah, you see what happens.
Did you not see what happened at the end, man? Come on.
All right, so I think we're all saying go see this.
Bomb.
Yeah.
Go see it.
It was a bomb.
It's great performances by all the actors. Really crazy story. Fun. Exciting. Snowy. Not the dog from Tintin.
Also, we just spoiled everything for you, so I don't fucking listen to this podcast for. Unless you don't care about that stuff.
There's visual elements. We're giving them audio elements.
Yeah, there's so much to this movie.
It's really just an oral. Auditory.
The screen never turns on.
Yeah, you know.
So that's it for our review. Tell me, Matthew.
Tell me anything.
What are our new releases?
Well, our new releases. In theaters this week, we have The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. In limited release, in limited release, Boyhood. Also in limited release, Land Ho! In also limited release, I'm going to say it like that forever now, A Long Way Down, and also limited release, Rage or Rage.
Before we get to Guess the Ending, let's take a second to thank Silent Partner from the YouTube Audio Library for the theme song that we're using, Sophomore Makeout.
You're my boy, Silent Partner.
It's good fun.
I like this song.
Our logo has been provided by Justin Keyson of Agents of Guard. I spoke of them earlier because sometimes I write for them.
That's
check
a dumb
them out.
Site.
Agentsofguard.com.
I don't guard anything.
Jordan?
I write for a website called Gamer Assault Weekly. I've got a review for Monsters Ate My Birthday Cake. And covered some
Spoilers.
Stuff during RTX. You can also go back and check out my editorial on the creation of the OC Guild for the charity Extra Life. You may not know about the charity or that they're actually making guilds now, but check it out. It's a great cause.
And I don't do anything.
You can see Adam dress up as the 11th Doctor whenever he goes to a convention.
Yeah.
Which Doctor is that? What's his name?
Matt Smith.
Okay. Is that the most? No, there's 12 now. Around 12?
12 hasn't 13. Had an episode yet?
There's 13 if you want to get technical.
Technical. About the doctors.
Everybody John Hurts, okay?
Everybody John Hurts.
Shut up, Leonard. It is a podcast that I do with Matt Benson.
Oh, a soundboard.
Where we talk about Community. That's right. We're still doing that, and we're going to keep doing
back,
that.
Because it's back, bitches.
Still happening.
Season 6 is coming, guys, but we're
Yahoo!
In the middle of...
6 seasons in a movie.
We're in the middle of Season 2 right now, so you can catch those recaps and reviews every Thursday at shutupleonard.com or benvnr.com/shutupleonard. Please like us on Facebook and all those other great things.
I've just tweeted at you right now. I will read the tweet.
You know what it is? It's shutuplenpod. It's
yeah,
the Twitter.
And, at shutuplenpod from at not a real Twitter account. He suggested... After every time that you say Community on the show, you should insert that old Yahoo commercial sound. Yahoo!
We'll do that for the Season 6 recap review.
Did you favorite that tweet?
No, you didn't tweet that.
I did, at not a real podcast account. Well, I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
If Tom was here, what would he know that you're saying?
Well, he'd know to say optigrab.org, I love Snowpiercer, and ReadWave. The end.
ReadWave.com.
I like... Nope, can't say that. Never mind. So, Tom, I love you.
Check those out. You should also vote for us on podcastland.com. Just go to podcastland.com. Make sure it's for Nerd's Eye View, or click on the link that we put in our description.
Can I get a fucking read-only document?
You don't need it.
And drive instead of me tapping the screen every time. It's like, oh, do you want to edit? No, I don't want to edit. I just want to scroll, motherfucker.
Just charge your tablet. That's what I have to say to you. You can also check out all the other podcasts on the Benview Network at BenviewNetwork.com. That includes Midnight Marinara. That includes Extra Damage Cast. That includes Popsicles. I hear that
Popsicle.
Picture Start with Derek Armijo is coming back soon.
What's our Comic Nerds Unite?
Comic Nerds
CNU?
Unite. They used to be Nightwing Loves Power Girl. Now they're Comic Nerds Unite. They're still going strong. I believe their most recent episode will have Matt and Brendo.
Smith.
Matt Benson and Brendo. Talking about Rocket Raccoon number one.
Oh, that's...
They just restarted that series for some reason. You know,
there's a movie coming out.
It's not like there's a movie coming out.
So yeah, check that out. BenviewNetwork.com. And go demand that he bring back the wrestling one. What was it called?
Matt and Brendo's wrestling show is canceled?
NBWS.
On hiatus?
They just haven't done one. So email Brendo.
WrestleMania happened.
Brendo went to WrestleMania.
This past month, in June, it was the King of the Ring. Yeah, there is no King of the Ring pod?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness.
Email all your complaints to Brendo.
Next month is SummerSlam, bitches.
Do you even listen to MVWS?
No.
You should.
But I know every it's ingrained in my brain all the main pay-per-view months.
And our personal website, nvpodcast.com.
November Survivor Series.
nvpodcast@gmail.com. We're looking for your local video stores, so send those along.
Do you remember when the Road Warriors got together with Hulk Hogan and I believe it was Macho Man? Yeah. And they took on the Million Dollar Corporation? This is a thing that happened?
I'm just gonna keep shaking my head because I don't know. Okay. I don't know wrestling.
Guess the ending. Oh, you'll never guess how it ends. First up, we've got... I don't know.
Adam is first.
I just want to scroll, not edit.
Hello, everyone. I'm back. I'm going to be doing Guess the Ending for a little movie called Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
That was a long one, baby.
Directed by Matt Reeves, starring Gary Oldman, Kerry Russell, Andy Serkis. Here's a little description.
No, you missed the name there. It's a long one.
Cody Smith McPhee. Mm-hmm. A growing nation of genetically evolved apes led by Caesar is threatened by a band of human survivors of the devastating virus unleashed a decade earlier. They reach a fragile peace, but it proves short-lived as both sides are brought to the brink of a war that will determine who will emerge as Earth's dominant species.
Do you want sound effects while you're doing this?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. So, as I've seen from the trailer, Caesar and another man who I believe is whatever the main guy is, who's that Gary Oldman.
All units respond.
They meet each other, and Caesar, you know, he kind of likes this guy. He says, "You're a good man, just like Franco used to be." All right,
Franco, good man.
And, you know, they build a relationship. And what they want to do is they want to... Here's how I think it's going to go. They want to join their two houses together. Through marriage. This isn't sound effects, this is music. But they know that theirs is a love that can never be. So, Caesar and this man, in secret... make sweet, sweet, dirty, dirty, nasty love.
Let's get it on.
And but they know that no one can find out about this, or else there will be a war. Because their love is something that cannot be.
Mortal Kombat! Oh, you guys
and
missed it.
And here is how it ends. All right? Caesar and whoever is the main character who's not Gary Oldman, they finally decide, hey, you know what? I wish I knew how to quit you. And they have to go their separate ways. And then there's a giant battle. And the apes win, obviously. But Caesar, on the battlefield, meets his secret lover. And instead of killing him at the very end, he tells him that he's pregnant! Bum, bum, bum!
And it cuts to black and they play AC/DC's Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, okay.
And that's... how that movie is going to go. Let me know if I'm correct.
A male monkey gets pregnant?
Hey, yep. You know, they're genetically evolved to survive.
Evolution.
Okay. Life finds a way.
Life
finds a way.
So you're digging up dinosaurs.
Ow!
Ow! That's so sweaty down there.
All right.
Let us know if that's what happens. We're going to go see it, obviously. But
nope, it is. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Land ho!
40 knots.
40 knots.
20 leagues.
Mr. Captain.
Starboard.
So this is a movie directed by Aaron Katz and Martha Stevens, starring Earl Lynn Nelson, Paul Einhorn, Daniel Gilfson. And hold on, guys. My Russian's a little bit rusty.
I'm pretty sure it's Norwegian.
Okay. How do you say that? Whatever that letter is right there.
Oh, it's
What is that letter?
Yoder Christoph's Joidel.
You're just doing a Y sound?
Yoder. It usually defaults to a Y okay. sound.
So this is described as a pair of former brothers-in-law embark on a road trip through Iceland.
Okay, so these are brothers who work for law enforcement? Is that what you're saying? Brothers-in-law.
They're brothers-in-law.
Like, yeah, law enforcement.
Brothers-in-law.
Okay.
But they're former brothers-in-law.
Retired. Yeah.
And here's the other interesting thing. There's two directors on this film because each director takes one of the brothers' perspectives and only directs that half, right? So this is, in fact, a film in split screen. The whole entire time, you have one screen on the left, one screen on the right, one from each perspective.
That sounds awful.
So they start. It starts actually as one screen, and then when they get lost and they separate at one point as they're on their road trip through Iceland, you see the screen split dramatically. And then they're on their own, and they're trying to find each other, and they're going through the ice. It's kind of like 127 hours, but not stuck under a rock, but just moving through ice.
Oh, my arm!
Except not that. I don't think he ever says that at all in the entire movie.
He doesn't.
That's the one thing I would shout over and over again if my arm was trapped under a rock.
Someone hear me, please!
My arm!
I'm useless.
And so what actually happens halfway through this film, there's a flood. The entire continent of Iceland is flooded, and they get on boats,
looking
for land. So this is, in fact, secretly a prequel reboot to Waterworld.
So he pees in that. He pees, and then he drinks the pee.
Drink the pee water, yeah.
Jordan, you have a tall task ahead of you because you get to say my favorite name, but you have to say it in a fun way. You'll know when you get to it.
You know
it. It's the only fun name in that title.
A Long Way Down, directed by Pascal Chalmet.
I will.
Is that
No. You know the funny name when you get to it.
Oh, I know which one it is. Starring Pierce Brosnan, Toni Collette, Imogen Poots, and Aaron Paul. Four people meet on New Year's Eve and form a surrogate family to help one another weather the difficulties of their lives.
You know, I screwed up. Can you say Pierce Brosnan again?
They were all
going to
commit
Pierce
suicide, right?
Pierce Brosnan.
That's fine.
So, this movie starts off with the four of them meeting, and suddenly, Pierce Brosnan's watch rings.
Blimey. Everyone's
like, why is your watch ringing? And he goes, I'm sorry, I've got to take this. And he goes into the other room, and it's a call from Q. And they let him know that he needs to come out of retirement. He needs to let go of his, what I think it is an American cover. And he needs to get back into the field. Unfortunately, Toni Collette and Imogen Poots have no idea that he used to be a spy. And he enlists the help of Aaron Paul, who is a race car driver, and they go out and they save the world with a combination of dashing good looks,
vroom, vroom.
A relatively small pistol, when you think about it.
It's got a lot of bang, though.
Some beautiful driving, and you know, someone gets shot while looking through a scope at some point.
Oh.
And blood trickles down the screen. But in the end, they find out that all they really needed in their lives was their significant others. Mm-hmm. And after saving the world, they come back, and they cuddle up next to the fire, and you see a quick montage of the women being called off, and they were doing some spy shit, too.
Oh.
And they had the same mission.
You meant spy kids,
and they
too.
End up having to fight all over their house, and they destroy it and everything. And then they realize that they both work for separate spy agencies. But they love each other, so they're going to make it work and take out both of the spy agencies.
The original title for this one was The Smith Family.
Yeah, The Smith Family.
The Smith Family Robinson.
Meet
the
Smiths. 008 for speed.
I'm not really... Why was that... Was that film just called Swiss Family Robinson because they were Swiss, they were a family, and their last name was Robinson? Was that the logic behind calling it Swiss Family Robinson?
Yeah, the Swiss ding, Family ding, Robinson. Ding, ding. It's because it's from a book by the same name.
That's dope.
And it's from a series of books.
Hello, I'm American Family Andrew.
Hi, American Family Andrew. AFA.
AFA.
Well,
Okay.
It's a good movie, so you shut your mouth.
I'm not going to complain about the movie. I'm just saying I never thought about the title.
Complain to the dude who wrote the book hundreds of years ago.
Okay. Well, probably not hundreds. Probably like...
Off to the internet we go.
18-something.
But yeah, that's how the movie ends.
That's 150.
They take down the organizations they work for in the name of love.
Jordan did a funny on the document.
What did he do? I can't see.
He solved our problems. Read the comments. I have in limited release. I have Rage, directed by Paco. Ay ay ay, naranjos en mi cabezas. Starring Nicolas Cage, Danny Glover, Rachel Nichols from ESPN. I don't know how she got in the movie, and Peter Stormare, who we brought up recently.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe he's on this episode of Nerd's Eye View. I don't know the number of this show, though. I'm sorry. When the daughter of a reformed criminal is kidnapped, he rounds up his old crew and seeks out his own brand of justice. All right, so, you know, the boys.
Okay, 1812 was when the book was published.
Oh.
Hundreds of years ago.
You just barely made hundreds.
200s.
Just barely.
200s in 2 years.
Because if it was under 200, that would be not hundreds. That would be 100
in your face.
So you just barely.
Please continue,
just
sir.
Barely.
Resolved.
Resolved. Is this how? That, yes. That, damn it. You read my mind. All right. So Randall Raines, he's a reformed criminal. He's twice reformed, I guess you would call him.
Did you just give him a name?
What happened? Randall Raines.
Is this?
Or no. I'm sorry. I Memphis Raines. I fucked this up badly.
Alice Raines?
What?
I fucked up. Memphis Raines.
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
He's a. This says he's a reformed, but this is a sequel, so he's a twice reformed criminal. You know, he likes to steal cars and you know, do things in them.
Drive how fast them. Does he like to steal these cars?
Well, I mean, usually those cars are gone in literally 60 seconds. This man, Memphis Raines. Sometimes he can sit in the driveway of a stranger's house and get a hand job by Angelina Jolie. He can do that. This man, Memphis Raines. So he rounds up the old crew. They of course, they have a tradition. He cuts to Donnie. Donnie plays Lowrider. They rock out to Lowrider. Yeah. And, well, he gets Eleanor again. Eleanor's in there. And he can never get her, but he gets her, and by getting her, he kills the kidnapper. He runs him over, of course. It's a car movie. And Rachel Nichols is the sideline reporter for this, because she's the redhead on ESPN. And, it's over. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything for this. Also, you guys distracted me with the comments thing. And the 1812.
I'm sorry.
That I did not think about.
I'm sorry.
At all.
You're usually so good on the fly.
No, I'm not, actually. They all die at the end. True story.
True story. Does it take up 80% of the poster?
Usually, yeah.
Based on true events?
This is a true story. Rage. They ran out of space, so they could only. This is a true story.
Nicholas
Cage.
Giant letters.
Nicholas
in the
Cage.
Bottom.
In a true story.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Top Nicholas third Cage is top. Nicholas Cage. Middle third. This is
it's
a true
story.
Story.
And then the very bottom, Rage.
Rage.
No. They cut the bottom third in half, coming, and it says the date, and then Rage.
I don't know. They cut it into thirds. They put coming, then they put the tagline. This will make you mad, and then the title Rage.
Tell me, how does he drive in this movie?
Well, typically he likes to drive angry, this man, Memphis Raines, because he's twice reformed. He drives angry.
What? Sometimes when he's riding, they have a nickname for him. What is his nickname?
Well, because of how fast he can take these cars, literally in 60 seconds, and the anger in which he drives, they call him the Ghost.
Yeah.
When he's riding, they call him Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
When he's flying and he's with some unsavory individuals, what do they call his private plane?
They call it, this is where I don't know, but if you want to go on to the movie, I was thinking in my head, the name of his colleagues, the name of that group is, they are the Matchstick Men.
Because they light things on fire, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes he even lights his own head on fire. That's really strange.
Yeah.
It's like a weird quirk that he has.
What was his last job? It involved rain and snow. What was it called?
Well, prior to being a twice reformed driver who was very angry and he could take these cars in 60 seconds, and he did that with his matchstick men. He was a weatherman.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not.
And then he liked to do something. He chewed bubble gum, and then the other thing was what?
Someone save me. I don't know this one.
Kick-ass.
Kick-ass. And he wanted to let you know that all of this will end right now when I say this. It could only happen to you.
Oh.
Well, that was a national treasure.
What a way to go.
Con Air.
Face off.
Con Air.
Oh, fuck me. Sorry.
I was going to do The Rock.
Oh. He was between what and a hard place?
All right. So that's part of the
every time they reformed him, they send him to.
What prison do they keep sending him to?
So if any of those endings are correct.
Its little known nickname was.
Of course they are.
I don't even know if he had an ending. We just kept making stupid jokes the whole time.
Oh my god, let's just do that from now on.
Well, that's every Nick Cage film. They're all connected.
Yeah.
It's all connected.
It's the same character.
Yeah.
And the reason why it works is because he's got that time viewing ability from Next.
We just found a great new game.
Were you doing Wicker Man, by the way? Was that one of them and I missed it?
I was going to do Wicker Man.
Okay,
I was
Wicker Man.
No, I was doing. I don't remember what I was going to do.
What was the one that I missed? Was it Con Air?
It was Con Air.
Okay.
Oh. I said when they're in his private plane and these some unsavory individuals.
I was trying to work in Face Off somehow.
Well, last time he had surgery, what did they remove?
Well, the first time that he was arrested, he said it wasn't him, that he was framed. Someone had taken his face off.
Nice.
So, thank you for listening. This has been Nerds Review. Next week, we're going to do Dawn of the Apes of the Planet of the Dawn of the Apes of the Planet.
Boogie!
What? Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
That's up jumps to Boogie.
All right. So,
Boogie, Boogie, Boogie.
Thanks for listening. I'm Andrew.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Matt. I'm sorry.
Good night.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.